Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. That was a top tier rocket flight
gotta
sound.
Got to get, it going off on a Monday.
Man, we are in flight. Going to kind of elaborate. If you listen to my show in the morning, this is a good chance for me. It's just a monologue. So this is a good chance for me to kind of bounce it off of Ben. Mm-hmm. And get a better vibe on like what everyone else is thinking as well. And today I talked about what I felt like were the three most important questions that need to be answered in fall camp for Auburn to be able to be successful. So I figured I'd bounce them off of you and then see what you think. And then also if there's some that I missed that you think are more important, we'll kind of go through that as well. So the first one that needed to be answered was, it doesn't matter by any means necessary, can this offensive line not be a liability?
Okay.
And how you get that done.
Okay. Well, number one, I'm going to need you to repeat that. Number two.
Okay.
Well, are these in any particular order or these are just the top three?
Just three. Not any particular order. Okay. Not any particular order. Can the offensive line, can they figure out how to – have the offensive line not be a liability? Because the last 4 to 5 years, really longer than that, you can look at one of Auburn's like biggest pain points, particularly on offense, and it's been for different reasons. Has the offensive line has been a liability, whether it's been from a just sheer talent perspective or maybe you got the talent. Like, I think last year the offensive line was talented. Clearly, you had two guys get drafted. I think I'm not going to be shocked if Xavier Chaplin goes high in the draft after this year. Like, he'll probably go have a pretty good year at, I guess, Florida State and then, be good. Talent's not been the issue sometimes. It's been coaching.
Right.
So, can you figure out how to just not be a liability? Like, not be the reason Auburn loses games or be the focal point of why there's offensive dysfunction?
There are two key components to the success of the offensive line.
Okay.
Cole Best is going to be one of them because of his leadership and his ability to be able to help put some guys in places where they need to be as far as what he sees on the defense. Your other is not an offensive lineman. It's the guy playing quarterback. And he can make a lot of offensive line and linemen look very good because of his size, because of his escapability, and because of his ability to throw on the run. He's not afraid to do so. So to answer your question, yes. Now, with that said, part two of that, you don't need to make your living off of a quarterback running all over the yard having to throw it because they can't bring him protection.
Sure.
So what they're going to have to do is be able to come together and allow at least a small opening to pick up 3 and 4 yards of carry out of our backs, which I think is doable based on the talent in the backfield alone. So I guess they're the third component of that success is their ability to be able to have some, as I call them, yak yards, the yards after contact, to go ahead and grab that first contact and then fall forward 3 or 4 yards. And with that will come, I think that they're going to be one of those, it's going to be a working project, Kyle. I think that they're going to make some adjustments probably after the Baylor game, and it'll be games 2 and 3. You'll probably see the biggest, hey, this is what we're kind of going to go with the rest of the year. Because you had injuries in the spring. When you get into fall camp, you can't touch the quarterback. They're not really going to want to touch the running backs that much. So we don't really know what they're going to be able to offer until we see them line up Saturday in Atlanta to take on the Baylor Bears. And now, if everything goes well and Auburn racks up a few hundred yards combined passing and rushing, you could be one of those things where you kind of get stuck where you are, and then you won't know how good we are till we get to like Tennessee, because
kind of what happened last year.
Yeah, because of who we play. So, but I hope that this staff and grading and what they look at can tell after the Baylor game. Kyle, I'll go ahead and say it. Even by half, make a halftime adjustments. Even if they have to make some halftime adjustments by the Baylor game. But I think with the leadership of Bess right there in the middle, along with Byron Brown, yes, I think they can. If what is some, somebody said offensive linemen are kind of like catchers. You don't want to notice them. You know, you don't want, you don't want penalties. You don't want to see a missed block so your quarterback gets absolutely hammered in the backfield. You don't want to see backs constantly being dropped for losses because of penetration by the defensive line. So it's my opinion. I'll go with that theory. I don't even want to know who they are after game one. I don't want to know names. I don't want to see problems and blow up. And if they can do that, yes, I think that the offensive line can be better than what everybody's projecting.
Do you think that it's a fair statement that – I don't think this is very controversial – that this offensive line, at least on paper, is potentially going to be a little bit less talented than the offensive line from last year? Like from
I agree with that.
Yeah, okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that automatically will equal poor performance, because I think the offensive line was horrifically mismanaged last year, from scheme to communication. It felt like they just always took the easy way out with, you know, the slide protections. Aaron Murray ripped Auburn apart for the way they were trying to dumb down the offensive line and their blocking schemes as a whole, particularly in the pass game. And a lot of that is the quarterback too, like being able to call the checks and things like that. And then, you know, the the pre-snap penalties and things like that, that is just coaching. Like that is 100%.
That's discipline. Coaching. That's coaching.
Yep. Coaching. So it's like, I just have this feeling that they're not going to accept this coaching staff is not going to accept that. Like they're not going to accept being beat by not being prepared. They may get beat if they just don't have the horses. And I think they'll scheme around that if they do have that scenario. But I don't think they're going to get beat by putting themselves in bad positions literally every game in almost every drive.
There were so many times – you mentioned the discipline aspect. And I don't have like a direct number in front of me because we don't have stats pulled up. But where it was third and two or second and four and we get a hold or we get an early movement and it backs us up. And then that changes the game plan and what you have to do. And you asked the question last year's, was it more talented than this year's? More than likely, yes. On paper, yes. In my opinion, yes. However, when I go to that phase two part of it, I think the quarterback is more talented this year than what was under center last year or behind the offensive line last year. I also think the running back room as a whole is pretty darn good this year. Not necessarily better, but I think very good this year, especially with some of the additions. So, and I think that the staff is more disciplined, will have a more disciplined line. And Kyle, how much of this goes back to of we've had this discussion on a previous pod. The staff last year with the previous quarterback needing him to be successful. So maybe the defensive line wasn't giving the offensive line full bore last year, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
taking it easy on them.
Yeah. Maybe these guys are getting worked a little harder this year.
Oh, they're getting worked. There's no doubt about that.
So I think that can make a difference too, because clearly when SEC play began last year, our offensive line, as talented as they were, I still don't think was prepared. And even though they were prepared, you got a guy that sometimes was holding it 4 and 5 seconds. You can't do that. I mean, I think some questionable play calling. I think we're just going to see a whole different – yes, is it probably less talented? Probably. Is it going to be more disciplined and probably be more on the same page than last year's? More than likely. So yeah. I don't think they're going to be as much of a problem as the prognosticators keep coming and going, got to fix offensive line problem. I'm like, well, we don't know that it's a problem yet. We haven't played the first game. We'll see.
Yeah, it may not have, honestly, it may not have really been a problem last year had it been coached better. You know, so that's one of my, to me, you may live and die by what questions are answered on the offensive line in fall camp and throughout the season. So that could be my number one overall. Like that could be my, you could, it's not, this isn't a list of like my number one, number two, number three. This is just three questions, but I guess you could probably put that one as number one. My second one is going to be, can the defense, let me back up. Will there be a significant drop off from the defense either by personnel or by scheme? Like if we actually change the thought process and the strategy and they're a lot more aggressive and they in turn give up more points, can the defense at least try to have a level of play that's up to what it was last year? And with the mindset that if the defense can just kind of hold serve, we think the offense can be a little bit better. And then does that equate to more wins? Can the defense, you know, live up to the way or get close to the way last year's defense played?
Get close to for sure, because I don't like when people say, you know, with this type of offense, you know, we got to run that bend but don't break defense. And I'm like, that's not DJ Durkin. He doesn't do a bend but don't break. Like he may take some chances and call some various stunts here and there, and they give the defensive backs the ability to be ball hawks rather than, you know, play, you know, keep away. Instead, they may say, hey, you know, we need a turnover here. We need a big pickup. So I think they'll be close. I think it remains to be seen if they'll be evenly matched with last year's. I think we got a couple of guys that are going to have to step up. We'll see if they've matured in the offseason. We'll see if they're better. They're bigger. You know, some of them are heavier. Some of them are also faster, even though they're heavier. So I think there's a lot of potential there. But I don't think that the deep I do not foresee, especially these first few games, as we head into SEC play with Tennessee and with Florida and those guys, I don't see the defense being the problem. And
yeah,
even if everything's clicking on offense and offensively we go super fast, now will the defense be a problem? I don't know, defensive line depth-wise come game 9, 10, or 11. That remains to be seen. That possibly. But right now I don't think the defense should even be mentioned as being like part of the problem right now. I think there's so many other obstacles to overcome and so many things to get better. But defensively, I'm kind of wanting to see some people step up too, because they clearly have put in the work in the offseason. They've put in the weight room. Now, if they're reading film right and they were with their guy Durkin and everybody stays healthy, at least healthy for most of the season, because you're going to have guys that get nicks and bruises and bumps that are going to have to sit out and sit out halves or sit whatever. Targeting penalties, that's going to happen with the guys that fly around. So, I don't think the defense is going to be an issue whatsoever, regardless if this offense clicks on all cylinders and put up a bunch of points, because people have said defense is going to get tired. Their defense is going to get tired too. So offense will just continue to pour on more points. So I don't ever like that comparison either.
Most of it is around the fact that there's not a ton, particularly on the defensive line, there's not a ton of like proven production you can point to. A lot of it's going to be based off potential.
Yep.
Like we love what we're hearing. I talked about this morning on Cody Sigler, but is it going to work in the SEC? We love what we think we have with Jared Smith. He's got literally NFL tools as a sophomore and showed some NFL-esque flashes last year.
Yeah,
but what does it look like when he's the guy, you know, 20, and not a dude coming in and mop up time? You know what I mean?
Right.
Linebacker, I've never felt as confident about a linebacker room as I have this one, you know, going into a season in quite some time. And then the defensive backfield is very similar to the defensive line, in my opinion.
What about your edges?
I'm lumping all that in to defensive line. Like Jared Smith, you got Deshaun Womack, who,
yeah,
you know, was a five-star guy, but hasn't really, he's got all the tools and you've seen flashes, but he's been in school for 3+ years now and you've yet to see it be put all together. So is it there? Sure. Is it going to be, you know, is he able to play 50 to 60 plays a game and give you that, all those flashes or put it all together for a full package? It remains to be seen. And then the defensive backfield, I think, is very similar to the defensive line. I think there's some very, very talented guys on paper. But again, you're projecting. All you can do is project, like, what you're going to get. You look at the two franchise safeties that we paid to bring back, you know, Anquan Fagans, Eric Winters. Those guys don't have a ton on tape. We think they're going to be great. Caleb Harris, we've seen him be good at times, and quietly he had an okay season last year, but I think even by his own standards, that it was probably a step back from his freshman year. You feel like he could potentially take a jump up. Everything is on projection. There's not just a ton of proven stuff, and you've seen a lot of the proven guys that left, they go to SEC programs, and they're probably primed to have decent seasons.
Yeah, they are.
So all that being said, can Auburn just be status quo? I would say status quo on defense. If they can get to status quo, in other words, a similar defense that they had last year, I think Auburn can win some more football games.
I think that it will be very similar to last year. I will say this. I had a buddy ask me about the defensive backs. I said, you know, the thing that I like about this defensive backs, because you talk about some of the potential, I said, it wouldn't shock me if they give up one or two big plays that they shouldn't. But I think you're going to be amazed to see some of the athleticism that they are able to present as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. You make a good point when you talk about everything is what is the potential. And I don't know. I just, with Golish's mindset and with DJ Durkin's mindset, I think that they have those guys believing in themselves. So I'm with you. If they can do status quo or better, I think you're going to have a better offense out there than what you've seen the last couple of years. So at least better coached offense than what you saw the last couple of years. So I think that the status quo or better would definitely win you some football games this year.
There you go. And then the last one, and Ben, I'm ready for some struggle wins instead of some struggle losses. Can Auburn figure out how to finish again? Can they figure out how to finish again? There was a three-game stretch last season of, I can't remember the order. I think it was Oklahoma, Texas A&M, then Georgia.
Yep.
All right.
Exactly what it was.
All three of those teams had struggle wins versus Auburn.
Yep.
All three of those teams went to the playoffs. Struggle wins, to me, used to be like Auburn's calling card. You know what I mean? Like, they were just going to figure out a way to kick that field goal at the end. At 2010 team, there was a couple. You had Kentucky. That was a struggle win. Had to win it, you know, with a walk-off field goal. Clemson, struggle win.
Yep.
Had to have them drop a game-winning touchdown in overtime and then miss a field goal to win that one. 2013, you had the Mississippi State game early in the year where you had the touchdown, you know, with little to no time left on the clock. Though that whole mentality that these teams have has seemed to be lost. Can they find it again? Can the standards that Golish is implementing, to where it's like, we're going to drill it down to where we know what we're eating every single meal, where we're going to be doing fall camp, to where we're going to go off campus to stay. Like, we're going to, like, it's old school. Like, we're going into the dorms. So there's no distractions because there's no school for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just nothing but football. Can those things lead to a mindset change to where Auburn can finally finish? And hey, we'll get that struggle win, but who cares? It's a win. and I'll take, you know, I'll take 10 of them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Listen, a win's a win. Like, I know that there's a lot of gamblers that don't like that, but a win is a win as far as, especially in the Southeastern Conference. Now, you mentioned mindset. This is 100% mental, and it starts at the top down. I mean, it starts with the coaching staff pushing this every day, talking about finish, the players believing in it. You know, I go back to one of the famous lines that took place in basketball was with Bobby Knight at Indiana, and they caught him on a hot mic. This was years ago, like in the 80s or 90s. And it was at the end of a ball game, and basically he started talking about what they were going to do as far as scenarios, and he kept telling the shooter who was shooting free throws at the time, after you hit the second one, after you hit, like he kept saying it over and over. In other words, getting the free throw shooter to let him know, listen, you're about to put us up by two because you're going to hit both of these, and you need to believe that. And it's that mindset that even carries over into football where you're never out of it. I mean, you mentioned Clemson. You heard the speech that Cam gave. People talk about what he said at halftime, and the team kind of jumped on his back and rode with him into that second half. Same thing taking place that same year with Alabama when they were behind and needing to come back from behind. And I'm not saying everything's got to be a come from behind victory, but, you know, a struggle win can also take place defensively. I mean, Kyle, if we're up two, defense has got to put a stop to keep them from getting in field goal range and having an opportunity to win it. So,
or having a big play or yeah, something like that. Or hell, I'll tell you what, winning a game.
It's both sides of the football. It ain't just, everybody always thinks it's on the quarterback to make a drive. It's like, no, every now and then you got to have a stop or a turnover or flip the field on somebody. And it makes a huge difference. It can demoralize a team.
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, we just need to come out on the right side of those 17 to 10s or 24 yes, to 17s. We got to start coming out on the right side of those. We have lost way too many of those over the last, gosh, 5+ years. And I guess you could take it back further if you wanted to. But yeah, like losing those games that Auburn traditionally is, you know, wins. Like, think about, I was thinking about the other day, 2006 versus Florida, you win that game without scoring an offensive touchdown. Yeah. 1994 against LSU, I think you win that game without scoring an offensive touchdown. It doesn't mean that, like, Auburn is, you know, has to be bound to having terrible offenses, but it's just, that's not really the point. The point is Auburn used to find ways to win.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as not having an offensive touchdown, but converting on a 3rd and 6 at the end of the game to extend a drive so they can't get the ball back.
Right.
I mean, because you don't want to give the ball back to the Mateers of the world or the Chambliss of the world. And so it is – I mean, we learned that last year with Oklahoma and giving it back to Mateer. Like, you just can't – so it doesn't
even – He went down the field and scored. He didn't have a great game. But they just found a way to go down and win at the end.
And Auburn needs to get that mindset of, you know, why not us? We can do that same thing. And even if it's something as simple as I said, converting a 3rd and 6 and picking up 7 yards, extending a drive where they don't have time to come back and do anything. Or defense, a big turnover or a tip ball or, you know, holding somebody to a 3 and out where you can at least, you know, start grounding and pounding all your way down the field again, you know, at the end of a ball game because their defense is tired. So there's so many things that go into that, but it's a mindset of we can do this. Like, this is to go into it going through all your drills and you go, hey, this is 2-minute drill. We know we do this every day in practice. We know what we're doing. That is just something that, I think that kind of thing starts with coaching, and it seems like this staff pushes real hard for something like that of winning the day. And I know that sounds very cliche, but seriously, this staff just doesn't – that standard that you keep hearing about, I think that's going to be their standard of don't accept failure. Like, why are you accepting it? So I think this staff is going to bring that to the table, to the forefront.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to, because I just don't see that this team is going to be – supremely more talented than anybody that they play on their roster. So you're going to have to win some games. You're going to be in a lot of close games if you plan to win. And there may be some that things don't go right. And can you figure out how for Auburn to win those games again? Because they haven't. They just haven't.
Yeah.
So those are, to me, those are the three biggest things that if Auburn can answer those, there can be a successful season. Is there any that you felt like were left out?
No, I think that it goes back to, because we didn't really, we talked about offensive line, but offensively, things that lead to a successful season. And I think that comes back to, everybody keeps talking about Brown, but I go back to the running back room. I mean, I think you just got to be able to run the football in this league and be able to control the clock, as well as be able to pick up 3, 4, and 5 yards when needed. And, you know, I'd love to throw that completely on the offensive line, but I think sometimes it's going to fall on the running backs and fall on the play calling as well. So, you know, but as far as the top three, I think you got that about right. If I had to add one to it, I'm not going to go out on the receivers, just because, you know, that's going to be a combination of offensive line and your quarterback. But the running backs need to get that mindset of, you know, never fall backwards, like always falling forward. And yeah. If they got that, I love the success that Auburn could have. You know, that starts right there at the running game.
There you go. Let us know what you think. Is there any questions? I mean, obviously we could talk quarterback play.
Yeah.
You got a proven guy back there. That's the only reason I haven't really harped too much on quarterback play. Wide receivers could definitely be a talking point, but there's so many things that have to be handled before you can actually even get to the wide receivers.
Yeah.
That I'm not there. I think if the offensive line can, you know, work out, they can figure out a way to make it work, then that'll help, you know, that'll help with wide receivers as well.
If there's an honorable mention, I think I don't know if he's fully healthy, but 85 to 90% Alex McPherson also is a game changer, because there were a few missed field goals. Now, when we start throwing guys out there at 48 and 52 yards, you can't expect 100% of those to go in all the time. But I think that makes it big on close games too. I think being able to have an automatic 35 in, have an automatic 3 on the board, that also helps out as far as grabbing a win at the end of the game too.
There you go. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll talk again really, really soon. We can't wait for practice to start. Can't wait for football. But we're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.